here tonight. Welcome to the Rockland Planning Commission meeting of May 1st. Mike?
I just wasn't speaking into Mike. Sorry about that. Commissioner McKenzie, can you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please? Thanks.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. So following tonight's agenda, we are to item three, roll call.
Commissioner Voss.
Here.
Commissioner McKenzie.
Here.
Commissioner Whitmore.
Here.
Chairman Martinez.
Here.
Commissioner Sloan is excused.
Understood. Okay. Let me jot this out here. So item four on the agenda is minutes of the March 20th, 2018 commission meeting. Any comments, edits, suggestions? Seeing none, I think they're approved as presented. Item five on the agenda, correspondence. Any correspondence from staff?
Not tonight.
Okay. Item six on the agenda, citizens addressing the commission on non-agenda items. So at this time, if you have something you'd like to address the commission with that's not on tonight's agenda, now would be your opportunity to come up. And seeing none, we will move forward. There are no consent items. The first public hearing item, item number seven, AAA building at Secret Ravine. Looks like the applicant has requested it be continued to May 15. Do we have to take action on that?
We do not. It's noticed on the agenda for continued. I just but do want to make sure if anyone here in the public is here for that event, that item will be continued and not discussed tonight.
Correct. So May 15th, if you want to hear about that project. Moving forward to our second public hearing item, continued from the April 17th meeting, is the Roseville Motorsports Sunset Plaza conditional use permit, U-2018-0003. And staff, if we can have a presentation, please.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good evening, Commissioners. Dara Dunworth, Planning Division. The application is a request for approval of a conditional use permit to allow the operation of a vehicle service department of approximately 2,462 square feet as part of a new motorcycle and motorized recreational vehicle retail store in an existing building within the Sunset Plaza Commercial Center. The request also includes outdoor display in designated areas at the front of the building. The project has been determined to be exempt pursuant to Class 1 of the CEQA guidelines, California Code of Regulations, Section 15301, existing facilities. A draft notice of exemption is provided in this evening's packet. Roseville Motorsports is, as I mentioned, proposed to include a 2,462 square foot service area as a portion of their overall facility, which includes an approximately 17,000 square foot sales floor and showroom, 5,000 square feet of storage utility areas, a 5,400 square foot warehouse, and approximately 4,500 square feet of ancillary uses. The total floor area of the store is approximately 34,303 square feet. Staff has included draft conditions to address the operations of the service area and the dealership, including dealing with external noise. All maintenance and repair activities shall be conducted entirely within the building, and all doors shall remain closed. With regards to internal noise, a condition for soundproofing or other method to achieve the desired sound attenuation to the satisfaction of the community development director. Test driving of service or for purchase products not in a residential neighborhood or in the rear of the shopping center. And finally, storage of trailers and or vehicles. There shall be no overnight parking or storage outside of the building. This slide shows generally the five proposed outdoor display areas. These areas could be affected by conditions in the field, such as that the parking lot striping is now straight on rather than angled, as it's shown in this particular exhibit. Also, provision of required accessible parking spaces and accessible path of travel, and possibly building ingress or egress requirements could affect the location and size of these display areas. The final location and design of the area, display areas shall be subject to the Community Development Director's approval. Provided this slide just as a reference showing conceptual signage, just to give you a feel of what the front of the the business would look like. And so, subject to the recommended conditions of approval, staff has no objections or concerns and recommends approval. May I answer any questions at this time?
Any questions from staff? No. I'm sorry, I think you said in the presentation, but just to be clear, during off hours, no outdoor storage, is that correct? Or
that's correct. Okay. The condition is so that any service vehicles or trailers without vehicles, any outside storage would be prohibited. It would have to, everything would have to be brought inside and closed up for the evening.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Is there someone from the applicant's representation that would like to address the commission?
My name is Bob Kyle, and I'm the applicant on behalf of the owner of the project. And we don't have anything to add. Dara's done a great job. But in case you have questions, the owner, as well as myself, are ready to answer any questions.
Any questions from applicant representative? Okay, seeing none, thank you. At this time, if there's anyone from the public who wishes to address the commission on this item, now would be the time to come up. Seeing none, we'll bring it back, close the public hearing. Happy to take any comments from the commission unless someone's ready to make a motion.
I will go ahead and make a motion to, can we take A and B together? Yeah. Separate? Okay, I will go ahead and move item 8A as written.
Okay, there's a motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, this is passed unanimously.
I would also like to move item 8B as written.
And I'll second that again.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Hearing none. Okay, that passes as well. Those are the two resolutions presented before us tonight, so this project's approved. Thank you very much. And that takes us to item 9 on our agenda, Villages at Civic Center Design Review, DR 2017-0013. We can have a presentation, please.
Thank you again, Mr. Chairman. This project before you, you may recall, having seen parts of it before, the current request is for design review, approval of buildings, landscaping, and some site improvements associated with the previously approved Villages at Civic Center subdivision, which is a single-family residential project that includes 11 detached single-family homes and 54 attached single-family homes. The detached homes front on Lost and Evelyn Avenues within the RD4 zone, and the attached townhomes are clustered within the interior of the site in the RD8 zone. The City Council originally approved the Villages at Civic Center project in September of 2005. The entitlements consisted of a general development plan amendment, a tentative subdivision map, an oak tree preservation plan, as well as a design review for the townhome portion of the project. The map benefited from several automatic time extensions granted by the state, and one time extension was granted by the City Council late last year. The original design review for the townhouse portion of the project has expired, and with the adoption of the architectural guidelines, the project site is located in the Quarry Architectural District, and so both aspects of the project, or all structures, both townhomes and detached houses, are now required design review approval. In 2005, a mitigated negative declaration for the Villages at Civic Center was approved for the original project. Because the proposed Villages at Civic Center design review will not change the density, intensity, or location of development within the project area from what was originally anticipated, it will introduce development in the same project area that is consistent with the surrounding existing and anticipated development, and it does not include any aspects that would introduce new or increased environmental impacts. Staff determined that the project does not result in any environmental impacts beyond those that were previously identified, and the prior mitigated negative declaration would be appropriate to rely upon for purposes of CEQA compliance. Therefore, no further environmental review is necessary. The architecture of the project incorporates elements of the Craftsman American Gothic Revival styles and was reviewed by the Architectural Review Committee, who recommended it for approval by the Commission. We'll start with the townhome product. We do have color and material boards for both products provided for you at the dais. The single larger color material board is the one for the townhomes that we'll be looking at right now. The following slides will show briefly the 4 and 5-pack buildings as well as the duplex. The attached homes incorporate several of the required Quarry District architectural elements, including exposed wood framing, stone masonry, gable and shed roofs, operable windows with divided lights, and novelty and panel siding. A total of 8 exterior color palettes are used for the townhomes, 2 different combinations for the 5-unit buildings, and 2 different combinations for the 4-unit buildings. The combinations of base and accent colors on the buildings create rhythm and variation, and texture is achieved by use of the following materials: stucco, board and batten siding, horizontal siding, stone, horizontal trim, faux support beams, railings, wood posts, and posts with stone column bases. We'll flip through these. We've got a 4-pack here, and then the alternating 4-pack, or the mirrored 4-pack, the 5-pack, and the mirror 5-pack. If I go too fast, just tell me to slow down. Finally, the duplex. Common area and front yard landscaping is provided for the townhomes with a mix of trees, shrubs, and ground covers consistent with the citywide design review criteria and the state's water efficiency landscape ordinance. The landscaping includes paseos that serve a dual function as low impact development stormwater features and as connections through the site to viewing stations overlooking the quarries. The project entry includes landscaping, signage, and stamped concrete. In addition, staff has included a condition to require decorative columns to be incorporated into the entry to more clearly demarcate the transition from public street to private driveway. Turning now to the, here are some landscape details. I don't know if I'm going too fast or too slow, so just let me know. Turning now to the detached, we'll look briefly at just a few of their renderings. The following slides represent the 2 plans that have representative details and finishes for the various style and finished combinations for all of the houses. The detached homes also incorporate Quarry District architectural elements, including exposed wood framing, stone masonry, gable and shed roofs, operable windows, with divided lights and novelty and panel siding. A total of 10 different color combinations will be offered for the single family homes, with buyers able to choose their exterior color package. The applicant has indicated that the same color package will not be used on any 2 adjacent residences. Similar to the townhomes, texture variation is achieved by use of stucco, board and batten siding, horizontal siding, vertical siding, stone, trim, and posts and columns. Building lines and massing vary, with each unit having a distinct entry and porch. The front of each residence features varying roof planes and variations between living, entry, and garage door planes. The front yard landscaping proposed for the detached homes is, again, a mix of trees, shrubs, and ground covers, which are consistent with the citywide design review criteria and state's water efficiency landscape ordinance. Subject to the recommended conditions of approval, including the revised landscaping condition provided in the blue memo you have before you this evening, staff recommends approval. May I answer any questions?
Questions from commissioners?
Yes, I actually do. Dara, on the slides that we were given in our packet, when you look at the side view of the 4 and 5 pack homes, you're able to see a gas meter, a singular gas meter, and a singular electric meter on each side. Where are the gas and electric meters going to be located for the interior units?
Well, I would imagine they maybe just aren't represented. I would imagine they would have to be at the ends of the units.
Okay.
But I'm sure the applicant would be available to confirm that and answer that question.
Okay.
Questions?
Sure. So, Dara, go back to the site plan that shows the units sort of laid out on the site there. So I know sometimes when we're looking at, you know, dense communities like this, we may have enhanced elevations on sort of all ends of the buildings. And I was just going back kind of looking at the elevations in particular. I see the rear elevations of the buildings have some variation in terms of paint and material. But was there any thought given to, like, in particular that row there where it backs up against the quarry area or something that could be visible from sort of other areas of the site or beyond the site as far as how we treat either any articulation or anything of that nature with those buildings?
We specifically worked with the applicant to ensure that that southerlymost row of homes that backs up to the quarry trail and would be visible from the public trail would be enhanced. The elevations do reflect the work that we did with them. Most of the enhancements are on the second story because we anticipated that fencing and existing vegetation, which may come and may go, but we anticipated most of what would be visible of those, that back row of townhomes would be the upper story. So we did incorporate those types of enhancements. I suppose we could add some language to a condition if you want to make sure that we have a second pass at it, if you're feeling like we didn't address it adequately.
I would remind the commission too that the Architectural Review Committee did look at these plans and has a recommended approval of them. So keep that in mind as you're doing your consideration.
And then maybe just another question. So these boards here refer to the single-family residence detached, correct?
Correct.
And then the other board is the attached.
Correct.
Four-pack, five-pack, whatever they may be. Okay.
As well as the one duplex, yes.
Right. Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
I have a couple questions. So is that western access, is that a public road or a private road?
You're talking about this access here?
Right, because there looks to be a little median, right, that preserves maybe a tree and some landscaping and signage.
That's correct.
Signage.
That's the intent. So through the original subdivision map and the subsequent substantial compliance that we have, the process we've gone through with the developer, Rucola Road, this portion of Rucola Road that's on site of this project, will actually be vacated by the city and will become a private driveway for access to the project. So there will be an emergency vehicle access here, and you can see the trail being in right
having
there.
Having trouble following you. Do you have your cursor there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay,
hand,
I'm sorry. There you
the
go.
Fingers are right where the
okay.
EVA will be,
yeah.
Where Rucola will, public right-of-way will cease, and it will convert to the back, if you will, of the driveway. The access driveway, and then right next to it here, this little strip is the public trail. So for the entire western property line, that becomes the project driveway. The public right-of-way will transition somewhere between the median and this dashed line here where I've got the little fingers pointing. That transition is yet to be determined. We're working through that with the improvement plans. It's dependent partly on where the apartment driveway for the St. Anton project that we're processing mm-hmm. on the Kmart site will come in. And so once that curb return location has been identified, then that'll be where the public right-of-way that's Woodside will turn into the private driveway that used to be Rucola.
Just help me understand this a little bit better, even if it's not quite all figured out, just at least in concept what we're trying to do. Because I'm working from the south and moving north, let's say at the corner of where the property lines show, is there intended to be a public portion of road that's gonna go from north to south for just general public access and then a separate?
Not through traffic, no.
Not, okay.
Rucola Road, as you know it today, well, right now there's multiple barricades right out there, but Rucola Road would terminate as a public right-of-way, as Dara said, approximately where the dash line is there and where the median, that
okay
road split is.
Okay.
The exact location is yet to be completely determined, but at that point it would no longer be a private or a city street. It would become a private driveway, and that's the reason there's stamped concrete there and that we recommended a condition that requires 4-foot-high pilasters on either side, so it makes a very clear demarcation. You are leaving the public way and going into a private driveway.
Okay, and then from the north side of the project, is there a portion of Rucola that would
not
terminate?
Not within the project site, no.
Okay.
Rucola Road would end at the project site, and there would be an EVA gate for emergency purposes.
Okay, thank you. And then I know we have the color palettes, but I was still having a little trouble following. Can you bring up one of the elevations of the four pack? Because I thought when I was looking at them, it looked like, you know, you had one and then you kind of have a mirror image. So like if you had whatever that bluish kind of siding or, you know, on one side, the mirror image would have it on the opposite side. I mean, are each pack there's that faces each other, will those have a different scheme?
I believe that's the intent, so okay they don't mirror each other across the street.
Okay.
Yeah. We can make sure that happens, certainly, in plan check.
That's probably the most important part, and I'm hearing some nodding, but I think maybe the applicant's representative can further confirm what their desires are. And then, and this could be followed up with the applicant as well, but for the single-family homes, am I correct? And there's two plans with an A and B elevation for each plan?
Correct.
Okay. And then there's on the order of 8 to 10 color schemes potentially?
Correct.
Okay. And there's a condition to not have two color schemes next to each other.
I don't believe we put a condition on. We've relied on the applicant saying that that was their intent, but we could add a condition.
Okay. Well, we'll get an answer from the applicant, but I would probably be inclined to have some kind of pre-plotting plan provided to the city staff before.
I would ask you that you consider for that issue that private homeowners, after it's built, could repaint as they choose.
Mm-hmm.
And so it becomes one of those things that while we can make sure it happens up front, there's nothing to stop the homeowner from painting it the next day if they're not happy, and it can be one of those things that, really, you're going to make me paint my house a specific color when I buy it, and then I have to come back and paint it. So not saying we can't and won't do it, just some of the issues to chew on as you're considering whether or not that's reasonable or not.
Let's see if I had. And then there was one plan in the four-pack. It looked like it had one car garage. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And don't we require two off-street parking spaces, or is it fulfilled with the other off-street parking spaces?
That's correct. It's required to have one covered parking space, and the visitor parking can be uncovered.
Okay, great. That's all I have for right now.
Another Hello? Question. So are the single family homes part of the HOA? Or do they don't share in the amenities at all?
I'm sorry?
The single family homes do not share in the HOA amenities?
I believe that is the intent. They will be standalone single family residences and not part of the homeowners association for the townhome project.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so why don't we ask if someone from the applicant representation can make some comments or answer some questions if we have any.
Do you have this? This was part of the design view application.
I'll bring it up.
That would help answer the elevation question.
Hi, Tanner Judkins with Riverland Homes. I'll try and hit them in order from what I heard. The gas meter question is a fantastic question. PG&E, short answer is we don't know, because PG&E is having trouble deciding what they're going to approve. So we have a couple different options, but one of which would be a clustered meter bank on each sides of the unit. So on a four pack, you'd have two on one side, two on the other side. On a five pack, you'd have three on the other side, two on the front side. Our perfect world is actually a meter cabinet that would fit into the elevation that you would never see on a sideway. And right now, PG&E has not approved that. So we're kind of keeping our fingers crossed that the gas meters kind of go away in general as far as visually seeing them. But those are the two different options that we're waiting on PG&E approval for. As to the rear elevation question, that was both an issue that staff brought up and the community brought up. So if you look at the bottom, that is the rear elevation of the townhomes. And so we started where this was a relatively flat rear roof with not different materials. So what we did is we actually added those two gables and then added two materials with alternating with accent colors to basically enhance that view. Originally, it was designed to be for those homes facing the quarry, and then also the community kind of asked for it to be on that on the two packs that nose up into the north as well. And then we realized that we're just not that good to pick some buildings to do an elevation on and some other buildings. So we're just gonna do them all like that. But that was in direct response to that comment on the from the Architectural Review Committee and also from members of the community. As to the question regarding color schemes, we would absolutely be supportive of a condition if you guys are worried about it, just specifying that the RD4 lots must alternate color scheme. We don't let buyers, as just a rule of thumb, we pre-pick the exterior color packages. You know, over the many years we've been doing this, when homeowners tend to pick their own exterior colors, A, we lose control over what our community looks like, but, you know, sometimes it's hard for homeowners to judge what their color scheme is going to look like, and we have a designer that puts these together. So our intention is that through four different elevations and eight different color schemes, we will have 11 homes. No one home will be alike, if that makes any sense. So that's our goal. Mm-hmm. And as to your, I believe I heard a question about the color schemes for the four and the five packs. We have two different color schemes, some of which have overlapping colors for the units. So when we worked with our designer, we didn't want to have 16 different color schemes. And so there are some that overlap, but to answer your question, we do have color schemes that are specific to a four pack. So for that reason, one of the design decisions we made was that because these are single family homes and not condominiums, we really wanted each unit to have its own color scheme. So if you look at the elevations where the trim line is, that is the demising wall for the unit. And so everybody has their own body and accent color. So across the street, you might have you won't have the same unit that's the same color, but you might have a different unit that's the same color scheme, but it's going to look a little bit different because it's going to have different accent materials and different color schemes because it's a different elevation. But that really is that's the goal. It's to not get too crazy with this color schemes, but yeah, make sure we definitely have no identical packs across from each other.
So would you anticipate for the four and five packs that a homeowner or home buyer can choose their color scheme for their specific unit?
Never, not on our exteriors.
Okay.
No, that's gonna be pre-planned and controlled for the whole community. And it goes back to we let buyers pick interior finishes and customize exterior finishes, but we almost never let buyers pick exterior colors. A, because we wanna control what the community looks like, and B, you know, sometimes it can be frustrating for homeowners, you know, they get a little swatch and, you know, you get your whole exterior home painted, and, you know, that's a little risky, right? So we would be telling them what their exterior color scheme is as we're marketing it.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Any questions from commissioners?
So I heard you mention 8 schemes for the homes. There's actually 10, correct?
So the
ones that are in front of us over here?
Yeah, so I made that, I don't want to say I made that number up, but that was more of an illustration. So I'm not looking at the color board, but we should have different combinations. We should have put the combinations on the color board that correspond with the four. So I think those are for the
single family.
Yeah,
so yeah, those are for the single family.
So there are 10, there's not 8. The 8 is only for the other.
And it might actually be that there might actually be 10 for the RD8s as well. Yes. So I'd have to go back and see, because there are in the 5 packs, mm-hmm. we don't have any unit that is the same color.
I see what you're
saying.
You see
what I'm
okay.
saying? Yeah. So we probably actually have 7 or 8 body and accent combinations. Does that make sense?
Right. No, I understand.
And when you combine them, you get different combinations because they'll go on different units. You with me? But the designer didn't want to have, if I take 5 + 5 + 4 + 4, didn't want to have 18 different colors combinations because that's overwhelming, right? So, even though each unit has their own color scheme, the trim is the same throughout the whole building.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that I'm hearing the right things. So.
Yes.
No, but I understand what you're saying.
Right. Okay.
Thank you so much,
Tim. Yeah.
So there was the question about whether the single-family homes were part of the HOA. Is that?
They are not part of the HOA.
They're not part of the HOA.
Right.
Okay. Right, and they don't have front yard landscaping, done by the HOA, maintained by the HOA.
Yeah, okay. That's exactly right. They won't be part of the CCNRs or the community regulations and all that kind of stuff. Yep. And the goal of that is to have the single family homes conform to the existing neighborhood,
right.
And have the RD8 townhome project be kind of its own animal.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the duplexes are part of the HOA.
Yep. The one duplex
the one duplex.
On the south. Yes, exactly.
Any other questions from commissioners? Okay. Thanks for answering some questions.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
We'll now open this to the public. If you have any comments on this project.
Ben? My name is Dan Meeker. I live off Lost Avenue, which is directly across from this project. And the neighborhood's been dealing with this project on and off for many, 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 many years. I've been up here, this board, with many different faces. So you guys are not really aware of what this neighborhood had to go through. And really, there's not even the neighbors that used to come here and stuff. Because everyone is pretty much in agreement with this project now. That basically, we feel that they have compromised with us and have came up with something that's suitable that fits the neighborhood as best as possible. We'd all love to leave it as a field and leave it as, a sanctuary that it is right now, but that's not reality, and every owner has the right to build. I understand that. What I'd like to talk about, though, is the project, overall project, and the impact of traffic. That was a big, big issue with the neighborhood. And you've addressed some of it tonight by talking about the boundaries and the roads and what have you. the Rucola Road, the west side, is how, my understanding is how they're going to enter and exit the townhomes inside that area and stuff. And I just want confirmation that that's what they're going to do, and I believe that's what's going to happen there. And there's single dwelling homes that are going to fit right across the street from me on Lost Avenue. Those homes basically will enter and exit through Winding Way the way I would, and so on and so forth. Back when we were negotiating all this and the neighbors who were negotiating all this, the impact was, okay, we already have traffic that comes from South Grove, which is basically the east side. We have all this apartments over there. We have traffic that flows through Lost Avenue. It flows out, and now we're going to have the new traffic with the homes there, and they're going to impact our neighborhood. The question is this. It was agreed that they would block off winding way where it comes down and hits Rukla Road. So that way, the traffic on the east side of us, the South Grove, will not have any reason to come and travel through there anymore. So if you understand what I'm getting at, does that make sense to you?
Yeah, and we can confirm with staff.
Yeah, okay, and you can confirm that with the city and what have you and stuff. So basically, I just want to just confirm that, make it a record that that's what everyone agreed that was we were going to do and stuff, what have you. And the only other object is that the single dwelling homes that sit right across from us, that's our street, Lost Avenue. Its parking is only on one side. It's currently on our side. So whoever buys those homes there, they're not going to be able to park on along the road unless they try and impact our parking, and that's going to be an issue with me as a homeowner and us along there. So I don't know how that gets addressed or what have you, but that's currently the situation. So whoever buys those homes would have to park on their properties, not along the road. That's all I have to say.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
My name is Joanne Rukala Lawson. I live at 3955 Evelyn Avenue. And I just want to say that the owners have been more than fair to, I believe, all the homeowners around. They have given us everything that they possibly can. We get a fence in the back of our choice type of fence. And they're not going to be building close to us. They're going to be starting the townhomes like 65 feet back and facing the other way, so they've been very thoughtful on our needs, and I'm looking forward to it. And besides that, there won't be any homeless over there on Rukala Road hanging out by the quarry, so that'll be nice too. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? Okay, this time I'll close the public hearing and just bring back to staff. Maybe Brett, you can kind of walk through circulation for us.
Yeah, as some of you may recall, the original map had conditions requiring that there be a barrier between Lost Avenue and Evelyn Avenue.
Here
at the corner.
Okay.
That is still a condition and a requirement, so that will be going in with the subdivision. There will be a gate here that will prevent access except for emergencies. And I believe the project also was conditioned to install a barrier on Winding Lane up here. Certainly the Winding Lane Estates project is required to install that before they finish with theirs. So there are barriers all over the place to keep traffic from going through, being installed as a part of this project and other projects in the area. Okay. As far as the other issue about parking on one side of the street will be signed appropriately. However, street parking is public parking. It is not relegated and does not belong to anyone particular on the street. So it is a first come, first served basis like any other residential street in town.
And I'm assuming the street width was left relatively narrow to maintain kind of the street network in that area of town?
Correct.
Oh, okay. Okay.
The existing improvements on Lost are pretty much what they're going to be with the recent work the city did last summer.
Okay, great. Okay, well, I'm going to bring it back to the commissioners. Any comments or?
Just piggybacking on the parking, each one of those units have been conditioned so that they are to be for vehicle parking first. So that will take care of a lot of the parking problem, correct?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
Each one of those units, either single family or townhome, have all been conditioned that the garages are for vehicle parking first, correct?
There is a condition on the townhome projects that they have to have a HOA-enforced parking plan to ensure that people can park in their garages. The single family homes are not part of the HOA and do not have that requirement, just like any other single family home in town. So if people fill up their garage, usually they park in their driveway, but sometimes they do spill on the street, but then they have to move them consistent with, you know, parking ticket enforcement and that kind of thing. There is no specific prohibition on or requirement for use of the garages on the single-family homes.
In all of Rockland or just on a per-project basis?
In all of Rockland.
Okay, thank you.
Are these both the single-family and the R8 zone properties subject to CC&Rs?
The applicant noted a moment ago that the single-family homes on Lost are not part of the HOA, so that would indicate to me that they are not part of the CC&Rs. Usually the two go hand in hand. You could certainly ask him for clarification on that issue.
Yeah.
But I believe the intent and the desire was that they be regulated and treated just like the other homes on Lost Avenue, that they not have be encumbered by additional rules and regulations, just like the neighbors on the existing side of Lost.
Okay. I do want to ask, do you plan on having CC&Rs for the single family?
We don't, but this okay. was actually a this was actually an issue that the planning group brought up early on. And so I don't know if somebody can go back to the RD4 elevations. So it was very important to the community that we make all of these three-car garage and traditional three-car garage plans, so not with a tandem. So not only do you get three-car garages, you get three driveway spaces. So while we aren't going to, again, we want to treat this as a normal single-family residence that conforms to the neighborhood. That was actually one of the neighborhood's specific requests early on, and we made sure that we satisfied this. And I think that we'd have to go back and look at the lot width, but this is probably more information than anybody needs to know, but we have given this some thought. So one of the plans is actually a skinnier plan because, and I don't know if you saw the 3D elevation, it's got that side patio.
Mm-hmm.
It's because there's two lots in there that have these big, beautiful oak trees that we'd love to be able to save and not wipe out. And so we tried to come up with a skinnier plan that we can push over to the side and have a back patio, but maintaining the traditional three-car garage. But I think that some of the lots will also be wide enough where you might even be able to get a 10 or 15 foot side setback that we can also market for RV access. So meaning that, you know, while we're not seeking to control that, we want to maximize the parking on site. So, you know, in theory, you know, you ought to have 6 parking spaces in each house, you know, and if you're taking up 2 garage spaces and you're only using 1 car in there, you still ought to be able to get 3 on your property. So we hope that would be adequate.
Great. Thank you. Any other questions? No? I just wanted to throw one thing out. I think it's useful, and I think it's probably in the developer's interest as well, and you can certainly, you know, I'll let you respond. But I think submitting some kind of pre-plot exhibit just to ensure that, for example, the 4 packs that are across from each other don't have the same color scheme would be useful. And then for the single family, I think the same thing. I think they could pre-plot the plan and the elevation style. And then if a homeowner wanted to pick a different color or something, it'd be an easy way to go back to staff and say, hey, we want to swap out color scheme 3 for color scheme 4. The buyer really desires that. And what I'm looking for is ensuring that, you know, we don't have, you know, multiple similar color schemes on, especially the first 8. They're all in a row. And I think, you know, if you pre-plot it, you know, you're pretty much telling the home buyer, this is how we've kind of laid things out to ensure variety and what have you. And then if you need to contemplate a potential change, it would be, I think, an administrative call to just swap out something. I know personally from my work with multiple jurisdictions, they're moving towards a lot more pre-plotting, which makes it a little bit cumbersome at first, especially when I'm plotting out 200 homes or something like that. But I think in the end, it kind of ensures everybody there's a plan in place to ensure variety. And I don't think we need to place any future restrictions. You know, if a homeowner wanted to repaint it a different color in 15 years, you know, that's their prerogative. But, you know, at least from the get-go to start,
I think we can ensure some variety. So I don't know if any of my fellow commissioners support that, but I do want to ask the applicant, is that something that would be acceptable?
Absolutely. I guess the way I would leave it up to staff to how they think that would be best implemented or checked, but we would okay adding some type of condition that said, you know, for the RD4 section or for the RD4 lots, you know, no color scheme, you know, applicant or developer shall not utilize same color scheme on adjacent lots. Would that satisfy the, for the RD4? And then they would deal with that through their plan check process for building permit? Would that be acceptable?
Yeah, I think it might actually be similar before the plan check process to just submit an exhibit like this one, but just
for exterior colors.
And just put color scheme one, let's say across the street from each other, color scheme one and two, three and four, five and six, or something like that.
Great.
Really simple. It's an overall exhibit. It shows what it looks like, and it's an administrative level. I don't think you need to come back to us for anything like that.
Perfect. So maybe we could say prior to building permit, applicant or developer to submit an exterior color map.
Yeah, a pre-plot. What I'm used to seeing is like a pre-plot plan, but whatever you want to call it, just to ensure that no two identical color schemes are across from each other or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, buildings. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then we leave it to staff to interpret that, you know.
We would have to do that internally anyways, and so.
I figured you do anyways.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah, that's easy.
Okay. And then I would like a similar condition on the single ones. Again, the whole commission has to, you know, decide whether that's relevant, but at least from my perspective.
I think that's very easy to do and something we would do internally anyways.
Okay, mm-hmm. Great. Any other thoughts or?
Well, I'd like to maybe add to that, Pierre. I think, you know, my concern on the elevations, particularly the back elevations, isn't necessarily the colors and the gable-ended pieces that were added there. I think that's great. My concern is more just the flatness of it, you know, that it just, and, you know, even with the buildings that are back-to-back with one another, you know, if you're standing in there and you're looking down that space, it's going to be, you know, a tunnel of basically a flatness. I really appreciate, you know, the articulation, the in and out, you know, the porch-like elements, the fact that some of the gables are extended, you know, some of those things happening on the front. I don't think it's anything more than, you know, where you added the gable elements on the back, that maybe those protrude out a foot or a foot and a half or 2 feet or something of that nature, just to give it a little bit of that same articulation and shadow line. To me, that's something that I would like to see enhance those rear elevations a little bit. And then likewise with the color schemes, what I do like about the multitude of colors on the attached homes is that we've got kind of a variety of browns, and then you've got some greens in there, and you've got some blues. It's kind of a nice palette. The single family detached are all like brown, brown, variation of brown, another brown. And so what I'd like to see is maybe is there a way to kind of pick up some of those other tones in one or two of the schemes of the single family detached units to where, you know, it seems more harmonious at that point. And I think that would solve it for me.
The only
mention of what you've mentioned.
Yeah, the only I guess concern we would have on that is we were playing a little bit of tug of war between kind of satisfying what staff wanted and what the community wanted, which is that the RD8 section we have a little bit I don't want to say permission, but it's going to have its own entrance, it's going to have its own feel, it's going to have its own area,
sure.
It's its own thing. So we have a little bit of more freedom with our. I don't want to say to do what we want, but we have a little bit more freedom to be a little bit more bold in our choices.
Sure.
And I think one of the desires of the community is to have this conform to the existing neighborhood. I don't think we've talked about color schemes particular, but that would be one of the reasons why we were more conservative with our.
Well, and understanding that, you know, again, as Brett pointed out, you can, you know, somebody can buy the home and change the color the next day, and there's really no homeowners association CCNR rules that would enforce otherwise. But, You know, I don't think this is particularly that bold. I think it's kind of nice. It creates kind of a village sort of feel.
Yeah.
And these homes are, you know, small enough and sort of compact enough that we could create that sort of, you know, feel. I just, when I look at that, I read bland. You know, it's just very bland is sort of across the board. So if there was one or two that maybe had, you know, a bit more variation, then perhaps you kind of get some of the quality that you have here.
Yeah, so maybe we could, something manageable for tonight would be to utilize two or three of the color schemes from the RDA
yeah,
thing. Would that be something that would be easy to add?
Weaving two into one or two, yeah. I mean, it's something as simple as that.
Absolutely, and we've already got them done, and we like them as well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Any other comments or
I'll questions? Comment as the one commissioner present who's on the Architecture Review Committee. I will thank you for the time you spent, the amendments you made through that process, because we were through two design review meetings with you, and you know a lot of the changes were made that you know we look for. We spent a lot of time on the attached roof materials. It's architectural comp. Looked at pictures of that. What's that going to look like on this? What's it look like in the surrounding neighborhood? So we were satisfied there. Between the wood framing and the stone and the board and bat and post and column and everything that came with those elevations, I think it was very positive. They worked with us on the rear second elevation to get where we thought we were satisfied with, you know, the existing vegetation out there, landscaping that's going to grow over time, so we thought we had accomplished that as well. Parking on the single-story units was well explained here. It was raised by the design review committee as well. Originally, as submitted, the single-story homes, we'd asked for enhancements there and color variations, and so the applicant accomplished those. So with that, I support the project as submitted and conditioned by staff.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
I was still discussing.
I don't know if that was a motion.
Oh, okay. I'm
was
sorry.
Just my general overview.
You're just
of,
your,
it was just well, a
I'm
zealous
sorry.
Support.
Okay.
No motion in there.
Sorry about that.
I don't take issue if the applicant's on board with making changes there. Not a challenge for me.
I was kind of in the same boat as Commissioner Whitmore, that the backside I wasn't going blank. I was like, oh, that's a lot of stucco. But I kind of see what you're saying with the flatness and how extending some of those areas could help with making it look a little bit nicer instead of, like you were saying, a tunnel. So the couple little areas that you had mentioned, I would also be on board with making modifications to that.
Yeah, and I will add too, it's not that I'm suggesting they need to come back. I think a lot of this can be done at an administrative level. You know, I think it's conditioning it such that perhaps there is a bit more articulation. There's the color variation on the attached pieces, and then anything else appear referenced. But I do want to say, I mean, if we're deliberating for a moment, I appreciate, you know, I take a lot of appreciation for when a neighbor comes up and who's lived here for many, many years and says, you know, this particular client has gone, you know, above and beyond to sort of create a harmonious community. I mean, I think that's what we're looking for in developers here in this community. Furthermore, you know, the fact that the developer mentioned that they're actually consciously looking at some of the natural features of the site and trying to preserve some of those and weave the buildings in and around them, that's been unique lately in a lot of the applications we've seen. So I do want to say very positive, and I support the project, but I think with these minor adjustments.
Okay, well, my just two cents before maybe I ask for a motion is, you know, they have been kind of, I guess, what I would call the meat grinder. They've gone through staff, they've gone through the Architectural Review Committee, and Commissioner McKenzie has pointed out a couple of things that they took a close eye, he being one of those on the committee. Excuse me. So where I was coming from was, you know, kind of delegating that review, if you will, to them. It doesn't mean the commission can't put their two cents in, but
the conditions that I was suggesting were more to ensure that we don't see the same thing twice right next to each other, but using the palette and architecture that they've come up with. And I think it does speak a lot to me when a couple members of the public, because I know this project has been around in one way or another for the better part of 15 or 20 years. And I remember some early meetings where residents were just not comfortable with what was being proposed. This is an older part of the town. It's just, it's unique. You really can't compare it to some of the newer areas in Rockland. And so if they're telling me that, you know, they feel like the applicant has listened to them, then it's gone through our kind of internal review process, I feel like it's been vetted pretty well. So I don't necessarily feel, especially with the single family only being 11 lots, like a lot of change up is necessary. I'll just say that. But with that said, I'm happy to entertain a motion, and then we can see where we fall on this.
You're the architect, so I will defer to your eye. Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to move a resolution to the Planning Commission of the City of Rockland approving a design review of Villages at Civic Center, DR 2017-0013, with the condition that the applicant work with the city staff on minor adjustments to help provide further articulation of the rear elevations of the multi-pack units, possibly the addition of, additional tones for the single detached family units consistent with the attached units, and then plan graphics that indicate the use of the color schemes and also the layout of the attached units in such a fashion that we create articulation amongst the different elements that are there. Does that make sense?
I think I'm following it, but I think it's important that staff
follows it.
I believe we understand, as long as we can take that as general guidance and we can craft the condition so that we can enforce it.
Right.
But what I heard you say is add articulation to the back of the multifamily. Right. Add some additional color options to the single family based on colors from the multifamily product, and to get a pre-plot plan or other terminology for which color schemes are going to be used where for both the single family and the multifamily product, so that no two adjacent buildings have the exact same color scheme.
Correct.
And all those conditions are delegated to the director for final approval.
Perfect. Great.
Okay, a well-articulated motion. Is there a second?
I will second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Yes.
Okay. So motion passes 3-1. And that's just one design review resolution. Okay, so thank you very much. Project's approved, subject to the conditions. And that takes us to non-public hearing items 10, presentation and informational items. Brett, anything to share?
I'm sure at this point you've probably all heard, but the city manager recently accepted a position as city manager for the city of Maricopa, Arizona. So his last day with the city will be June 22nd. You may have also heard or not, but today, the city council appointed Steve Rudolph, the city attorney, to be the next city manager That is a permanent appointment, not an interim. So we're all quite pleased about that and think that that will make for a very smooth transition. As I believe you all know, Carl Sloan is still dealing with his medical issues and in ICU, appears to be doing very well given the circumstances, but it is unlikely that he'll be able to return to the Planning Commission for several months. So we need to keep that in mind. And since we will only be operating with four commissioners for some time, it's critically important that you let us know as soon as possible if you aren't going to be able to make a meeting, because it's awkward for applicants, especially if they're coming from any distance, if we have to cancel for lack of a quorum at the last minute. So please help us to avoid that if we possibly can. We realize stuff happens, but to the extent we're able. Applications to stay on the Planning Commission or for new people who want to be on the Planning Commission are due to the city clerk by this Friday at 4 p.m. So those of you who are up, if you want to remain, please remember to get your applications in by then. And finally, we do have several items for the May 15th Planning Commission meeting. We have the city's new marijuana ordinance for your recommendation, the AAA building at Secret Ravine that you continued tonight, and we should also have a parcel map on Knight's Way in Stanford Ranch for your consideration. So that's all I have.
In the meantime, if you need somebody to help cover Carl on the Architectural Review Committee or whatever, I can step up and help with that.
Okay, thank you.
And I have to mention the staffing change. I think you're all aware that I'm going to be leaving the city at the end of May, going to a public agency firm and returning to working part-time. So I've enjoyed my time at the city and have learned a lot and challenges, and look forward to seeing you at the next meeting.
I was hoping you were going to change your mind and move on up.
Okay. Yeah, sorry, Deanne, I didn't mean to overlook you, but I think I'm still in denial about that one. So,
So just a couple of questions there. So with Steve Rudolph assuming the position of city manager, I presume there's going to have to be a filling of his position as a city attorney, correct?
That is correct.
And would that individual be assigned to Planning Commission and City Council? Is that the thought?
So currently the city attorney's office will not have any former attorneys in it. However, it'll be addressed, with my leaving and Steve's reappointment. There's a gap there, but it will be addressed.
Yeah, okay. And then I indicated to Terry when survey came out about upcoming dates, I will not be at the May 15th Planning Commission meeting. So just a heads up for those of you who are here. Hopefully we can have a quorum to meet the needs of those project applicants.
I will make it. So I think that was kind of 11 reports, discussion, Planning Commission. Any other questions, items? Okay. Any additional reports from city staff? And we will adjourn. Thank you.